This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No Sean, no Rich. It is Paul Gallant and Clint Sterner today. So the Houston Texans, per Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, have brought in Jason Verrett for an interview, a meeting, and we'll see if the Texans actually end up signing him. Verrett is a guy who was a first-round pick at a TCU by the now Los Angeles Chargers in 2014, and he has been injured a lot since then. In 2014, he had a labrum and rotator cuff tear in his left shoulder, so he played just six games. 2015, he's a Pro Bowler. Awesome. 2016, a partial tear of his ACL ended his third season after four games. 2017, after one game against the Broncos, his knee acted up again. He was put on injured reserve right afterwards, Clint. And then after that, he tore his Achilles in training camp last year, so he missed all of last season. So this is a guy who's got first-round pedigree, a guy that when he has been on the field has been really good, but a guy that over the last 3 years has played five games. Five. And for reference, Kevin Johnson has played 19 games in the last three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to go out there this time of year and find a guy that doesn't have some kind of skeleton in his closet, so to speak. I mean, every guy that you find in free agency right now, that somebody hasn't paid a boatload of money to is going to, you're going to get him at a discounted rate. He's going to be on the streets or on the blocks right now because of some reason. His happens to be, he's an injury prone guy. But I think if you do some digging into Jason Verrett, what the people around him, what the organization in San Diego, now LA, what they think and say about this guy, you know, you got to be excited about adding him to your defensive back room. Another high ceiling guy that if he can stay healthy and if he can play up to whatever that contract is he signs this year, then it's a quality sign.
Isn't if such a big word though, Clint?
Yeah, a lot of ifs. A lot of ifs with the Texans right now. I mean, we're talking about filling voids. You're talking about. A team that on both sides of the ball, a critical position, struggled because of injury. And so you're not only trying to, you're not only trying to fill voids, but you're trying to build depth. And you everybody wants that to be with big name guys that have pristine, past in the league, reputations in the league, and have, stats through the roof. I mean, those guys are locked up. Those guys are getting paid big dollars. Teams aren't letting those guys hit the market
right
as often as these other guys are. So you got to realize who you are and what you're dealing with. And right now the Texans, I think, are doing a great job relative to attempting to build depth in the secondary with guys, again, that have extremely high ceilings and could possibly be, guys that are mainstays on this defense if they stay healthy. And if they play up to what, people, their potential, if people think they can, that, this guy's a first round draft pick. You listen to the GM from San Diego, LA, Tom Telesco, and there's obviously a risk involved, but there's a high reward involved as well. When he was injured, he was still a huge part of the defense in LA. He's a big time leader, and he continued to do those things. Being a leader and
I like you saying that he's a leader.
Well, being a part of the defense and being a leader, he did all that while he was injured, man. That's very difficult to do. Most of the time when you go down, guys around you, unless you have some kind of it factor, guys around you just tune you out. And they're like, why is this guy at practice? Why is this guy in the meeting? Why is this guy speaking up in critical times in our season? And the GM is saying he's rumored to have his jersey hanging on the GM's wall. Again, at San Diego, L.A., Chargers, the GM, because it's a reminder of how he's one of the toughest guys in the building, one of the more physical guys in the building. And so we're not talking about just some random Joe Blow that's been a distraction with the team and been a disappointment with the team. He's, even though he's been injured, he still found a way to influence and impact this team in a positive way. And that's not easy to do, man. Your everyday guy in this world can't stay involved and stay in tune when he's been injured and when he's been injured that much and continue to have a voice. So he's clearly a next level leader, a next level player in the defensive backfield. And so if the Texans can wrap him up, that would be a big time add at this point.
That's definitely a plus to bringing him in, a leadership side of things. Clint Sterner and Paul Gallant, the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. We're in for Sean and Rich, who will be back tomorrow. You mentioned leadership, and I like hearing that a lot because, you know, you look at this cornerback group in particular, and Jonathan Joseph is bringing it. And in the secondary, I think Justin Reed's going to elevate into it. But when you bring in two new faces to a locker room, I imagine there's a feeling out process. I wonder, though, Clint, Jason Verrett in San Diego and then Los Angeles clearly was very well respected. But is it a little bit different when a guy has that kind of respect in another locker room and he's going into another locker room? Aren't you pressing the reset button if you're Jason Verrett going in there? So maybe that leadership isn't as big of an element that you're bringing in.
Well, yeah. No, there's no doubt that a change of scenery, a change of position coach, a change of defensive coordinator, a change of scheme, definitely is a different environment for a player and a different dynamic for a player to adapt to. But I would just much rather sign guys that have shown to have the ability to lead when they're not on the field, not just be a guy. It's easy to lead, man, when you're the guy, you're leading the team or leading the conference or leading the league in picks or in tackles for a lot. It's easy to lead when that's happening. It's easy to lead when your team's winning games. But you take a guy that continued unbelievable leadership, through a losing season or through an injury like that. He's just a next level guy. And I would think that I'd like to think that he would be able to transition from locker room to locker room and still be that elite leader.
Well, he's going to do it in San Francisco because the San Francisco 49ers have officially signed him per Adam Schefter about a minute ago to a one-year, $3.6 million deal. So that is another name that you can cross off the checklist. Clint, what are you thinking? So this guy...
I think Jason Verrett needs to send me about a little $100 check for just pumping him up on the air when he ain't got nothing to do with the Texans. You didn't even give my Texans a shot to come in and talk
to him,
now.
Man.
Golly. No, I mean, look. I think he's a California kid originally, when I read that and then I read that he was also visiting with the 49ers, I thought, this has the makings of being a guy that wants to stay on the West Coast, wants to stay close to home, stay with his family. But he also, I believe he played at TCU. Is he the one that played at TCU?
Yes, he played at TCU.
So, there were some Texas ties there, and so I thought the Texans would have an outside shot but look, hats off. On to the next, man.
Does it mean anything that he didn't even meet with the Texans because he was going to visit the Texans after San Francisco? I mean, San Francisco gave him a one-year, $3.6 million contract, and he was just like, okay. I mean, do you think maybe that what does it mean that he just said, hey, I'm going to take this one-year, $3.6 million contract, and he didn't decide, you know what, I'm going to see what the Texans offer? Because I would imagine the Texans could offer a little bit more, and I know that there's some tax ramifications as well. If I'm not mistaken, you get taxed out the wazoo in California compared to the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, where there is no state income tax or local tax. Woohoo! Big fan of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would imagine that it has a lot to do with him wanting to stay home and play in a situation where I think Shanahan will have the 49ers turned around. If their quarterback can stay healthy, they're a team that's definitely trending upward. he may have seen that there and just wanted to stay home, man. So nonetheless, like I said, on to the next. There's some other guys out there that the Texans got to find. And whether they do it in free agency, they do it in the draft, they got to go get them.
Man, I hear that, and I just think to myself, what is next? Like, I'm skeptical of Bradley Roby. We've talked about it. He's athletic as hell, and maybe he can develop into a really good corner, and maybe he turns into a guy that the Texans think, you know what, we're going to keep this guy long term, and you brought in Tayshaun Gibson, and right now at the very least you have the framework for a starting secondary, but you need more help at the cornerback position. And as we get to this point of free agency where there are fewer and fewer options that you really want to put on the field because they're just slowly ticking off, that is a guy that, while I would have been really nervous about the idea of him actually being reliable just because of all the games that he's missed over the last couple of seasons, I mean, he just strikes me as someone that was a real logical, you pay $5 million or less as the San Francisco 49ers did, and you just sit back and see what happens.
Well, sure. Look. I mean, we mentioned it yesterday, and here's I talked about the fact that the Indianapolis Colts, who all Texans fans are familiar with, how they've also been extremely quiet with a boatload of money in salary cap space remaining at this point in time. Their GM, Chris Ballard, is quoted saying, "We put a value on a player, and when it gets out of reach, I just think we're comfortable enough to sleep at night saying we're going to find an answer. We're going to find an answer, whether it's in the first window of free agency, maybe it's the second window, maybe it's a draft, maybe it's after the draft, maybe it's at the cutdown date. There are times to acquire players at all points during the season." And so as a fan, it's easy, again, a day into this official free agency, to really get your feathers ruffled up because the Texans aren't making the moves that you want, aren't making the splashes that you want. Just keep in mind that there's different levels to this thing and there's different ways to acquire players. And again, I know you're not, Paul, but I am 100% comfortable with and actually prefer being patient and selective and filling voids and building depth over time and not just trying to do it overnight immediately when free agency hits.
That's fair. Everyone's got their own approach. And for the most part, I would fall in line with you, Clint. I think right now, though, it's a little bit different. It just feels that there are other teams taking steps ahead of you, the Browns and the Ravens specifically, and you're sitting back and I just wonder if there's going to be something that they do that helps them take that big step before the NFL draft. Well, is looking less and less likely.
Yeah, Paul, but I mean, are the Ravens? I mean, they signed Ingram. They let three guys out of their front seven.
Suggs walking, not a big deal to me. Mosley walking is a big deal.
Huge deal, right?
Mosley walking is a big deal, but I think you replace Eric Weddle with Earl Thomas and you replace your running back with Mark Ingram. And this is a big if for Baltimore. If they can get that running game going the way that they did last season with Mark Ingram and with Lamar Jackson, hopefully, who will have better mechanics, slightly better mechanics, and be a better passer next year. I mean, that's still a competent team.
Well, I'm just hesitant to say that they've made moves that they've become better than the Texans, because I mean, if the Texans would have let three guys out of house on the defense that were one was an up and coming player, one's arguably one of the best linebackers in the league, and one of them's a long term, you know, big time Pro Bowl player that still has gas in the tank. I mean, if the city of Houston would have been up in arms about
true.
That if you'd let that happen, even though they did sign a couple of guys. So being quiet, holding steady, taking care of your guys in-house is not all bad. And I'm just not buying Baltimore has made any moves in the AFC that's put them beyond the Texans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.